You're listening to Kentucky Running, presented by John's Run Walk Shop in Lexington. Help others find this show by rating, reviewing, and subscribing in your podcast app. This episode is sponsored by Curex Insoles.
Hey, runners, thanks for tuning into the Kentucky Running Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Reno, and my guest today is Jaden English, a weightlifter, runner, and certified personal trainer. Jaden's going to share her journey of focusing on her own fitness and then using her knowledge and experience to help others as a trainer and fitness influencer. She's got a lot of good advice here. She's talking about her marathon experience, the balance between running and weightlifting, the role of nutrition, and her mindset for being an online influencer without mentally burning out. A lot of good stuff, so stick around for that. Jaden has also been the ambassador for our Silent Disco, which is happening, well, tonight, if you're listening on the release date. John's Run Walk Shop is hosting an outdoor party sponsored by Hoka, and you're going to have the chance to not only get your groove on, but also win some prizes, including Hoka shoes. There's a link for details in the show notes. We'll also have some Hoka demo sets on hand so that you can try on the new Arahi 8, Mach X 3, and Skyward Laceless. Great shoes, all serving different purposes. And even if you can't come to the disco tonight to try them on, keep listening because we're going to learn more about those shoes with Derek, our Hoka Tech Rep. We're getting ready for the Silent Disco happening at John's Run Walk Shop, sponsored by Hoka. We got a lot of fun stuff happening, including your chance to try out several new Hoka shoes. Derek, let's start with the Arahi 8. This is a big update, so give us the details.
Super excited for the Silent Disco. It's going to be a great time. It sure was last year. As you mentioned, the footwear products that people are going to have the opportunity to test out while they get their groove on. First one, the Arahi. It's our go-to stability shoe, which in footwear speak means that that's durable, supportive, everyday option. There's plenty of shoes at the store that may have plates in them or performance foam or things like that. This shoe does not feature any of those items. Instead, it's just going to have a super soft, compressed EVA underfoot feel. It's that signature marshmallowy, soft Hoka cushion experience that a lot of people are used to and what set Hoka apart in the marketplace in the very beginning. Plenty of support. It's got a nice, roomy upper. It comes in great colors. It's at a very, I'm not going to call it entry level, but like a mid-range price point sitting at about $150. So if you need something that's durable and consistent and supportive and cushy and gets you from point A to point B, the Arahi is a really good option. Think of it as kind of like the workhorse. That's what the Arahi is going to be.
Great shoe. It's been around for a while, and it's not just a running shoe. It's great for walking or just being on your feet all day, having some nice cushion underneath, right?
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it any better.
What else are you bringing to the disco?
We've got the Mach X 3, just launched in September. It's a newer style from us. This one, contrary to the Arahi, does have performance foam and does have a plastic plate. It occupies the unique area in our product assortment where, you know, it's bouncy and it's energetic and has a very lively underfoot feel. I wouldn't be surprised if some of these people don't put it on and start dancing and feel like they're ready to start doing backflips or bust, you know, some crazy move they didn't think was possible once they have such a bouncy, energetic shoe on.
Please don't do backflips in the parking lot, but
yeah,
but I get
not.
What you're
that,
saying.
That may be a liability concern. It's in our performance category, but it's more of like a mid-range option where it does have a plate, but it's plastic, so it's considered kind of entry level as far as some of those performance shoes go. And I think the unique thing about a shoe like this is if you're a middle to front of the pack runner, you maybe have a carbon plated shoe in your lineup. And in that case, a plastic plated shoe is a great tempo shoe. It's a great long run shoe. It's a great daily trainer or daily wear option if your legs are feeling a little beat up after workouts or runs. If you're maybe a middle to back of the pack runner, then it absolutely could be a race day option. I ran my first marathon in a plastic plated shoe. I was hesitant about what the carbon, the additional strain that would put on my Achilles and my calf to go for that distance in a shoe like that. So weighing some of those components, and a plastic plated shoe is a great option to kind of dip your toe into the water without having to dive right in as far as the fancy, ultra high tech, carbon plated performance shoes go. Still got plenty of cushion, even though it's more of a bouncier performance foam under your foot. And it comes in really, really fun colors. Both of the colors that are out right now in it are like pretty neon, bright, fluorescent kind of colors. They're like, they look fast, they look fun.
Last one you'll have the chance to try on, the Hoka Skyward Laceless. What's up with that one?
Skyward Laceless is, I would call it a takedown of another shoe that's in our lineup. It's called the Skyward X. And that shoe has the highest stack height of any of our Hoka shoes. 48 millimeters of foam underneath your foot. And it is more of that performance, bouncier, more resilient foam. The Skyward X, the original shoe, was kind of designed to be a little bit of a cheat code. It was meant to like make every run that you went on in that shoe the easiest run possible. I mean, you have to put in the most minimal effort, and that shoe just like wants to do all of the running for you. It's such a cool and unique shoe. And so this laceless version deletes the carbon plate from the inside. And so you just have foam underneath your foot, but you're going to have a max cushion stack height. And then you're going to have a fully elastic upper on it. So no need to tie your shoes. It's a slip on, slip off option. I don't have a pair yet, but I'm headed to the Chicago Marathon next week. And maybe I'm going to need a pair of shoes to travel in, to fly, something I can slip on, ultra comfort, long travel days, stuff like that. Or maybe if I'm working a job where I'm on my feet all day on hard surfaces, like just having that premium Cadillac-esque cushion and comfort underneath your foot, but now in a slip-on option that's going to have like a sock-like upper on the top. I mean, it's one of those styles that I remember putting samples on. It really just felt like I wasn't even wearing a pair of shoes. You just immediately forget that it's on your foot. You're just in heaven of cushion and support and comfort in a style like that. And it really checks all the boxes. It's really nice.
That's great. I'm really looking forward to trying that one on. And you can try all three of those shoes on during the Silent Disco happening October 4th. Details are in the show notes. And of course, you can also see Derek bust a move during the disco, right? Maybe we'll change your name to Disco Derek.
We'll see. I have been referred to as Derek and the Dominoes a few times. I might just pull that nickname right back out again. I feel like that, to me, fits.
I love it. Well, thanks a lot, Derek. We'll see you soon.
Of course.
Hey, runners. Real quick, I want to tell you about Kentucky Running sponsor Curex insoles, available at John's Run Walk Shop. Getting the right shoes on your feet is crucial, but it's only part of solving the foot health puzzle. You also need to make sure your arches are fully supported when you're running or just going through your day-to-day activities. Curex Run Pro insoles could be just what you need. Their flexible support and shock-absorbing cushioning help reduce fatigue. That prevents common running injuries, keeping you out there longer. Dynamic arch support with a deep decoupled heel cup fits, wraps, and locks the heel in place to improve stability, reduce pressure, and provide a perfect fit. And they help manage moisture with a mesh top layer and premium foam cushioning to keep your feet dry and running shoes fresh. They come in three profiles, high, medium, and low, to fit your individual arch type. I wear the medium profile, that's the yellow one, but to find which one works best for you, head to John's Run Walk Shop. Ask us to check out your arches and knee alignment, and we'll help you find the right pair of Curex Run Pro insoles for you. Learn more at johnsrunwalkshop.com/insoles. Our guest today in Kentucky Running is Jaden English. She's a weightlifter, runner, certified personal trainer, and nutrition coach who uses Instagram to reach people and help them change their lives like she did. She's also been helping John's Run Walk Shop promote our Silent Disco happening on the evening of October 4th. So Jaden, let's start with a hard-hitting question. How have you been liking those Hoka Arahis?
They are so nice, actually. I think they might be my new favorite running shoe.
Oh, nice.
I just did my marathon 3 weeks ago, first one I've ever done.
Congrats.
And I used the Hokas for those. They're really like cushioned and really stable, but they're really lightweight. Like when I picked them up, I was like, I can't believe they're this light, but they've worked so well. So I've been very happy with them.
That's great. What marathon did you do?
I did the Pocatello Marathon. It's actually in Idaho.
How'd you pick that one for your first?
I'm trying to run a race in every state.
Okay, nice.
So I think this was state number 9. I started last April 2024. It's been a lot of fun. It was supposed to be a slight downhill, but I'm not convinced it was because I went up a lot of hills. So
I mean, luckily you live in Kentucky, so you're kind of used to hills, but still,
very true.
it's nice to get a break from them. Let's start talking about your fitness journey. And your bio mentions you started that in 2022. So what was the catalyst for change?
So when I came to college, I started kind of going to the gym with my friends, but we were just doing whatever. Like, we would do some cardio, we would do some really long ab workouts. Like, we didn't really know what we were doing. And as I kept going, I got connected with people who were weightlifting and who knew what they were doing. And they kind of introduced me to it. And I just really fell in love with the feeling of being strong. And it helped my confidence and it helped my eating because as I started going to the gym, I realized how important your nutrition really is. So once I started doing those things, it was just something that I fell in love with and I kept doing. And that's kind of how my account came to be is, I felt so much happier, so much more confident, and I kind of just wanted to show people that and hopefully encourage them to feel that way too.
That's awesome. With food, was it just like you just didn't want to waste the time that you were doing in the gym by not eating right?
It was one of those where I kind of had no idea about nutrition at all. I grew up and we ate fast food all the time. And I was kind of in this cycle of I wouldn't eat all day until I was like super hungry. And then I'd smash like a whole pizza and Coke and ice cream. And then that's all your calories for the day. And then you start over. And it was kind of one of those things I was just tired of doing that. And I wanted to learn one, not only how to eat properly, but also how to eat in a way that really made the gym effective and really helped me see those results. So it's kind of one of those things when I jump into something, I jump all in. So I actually, once I started going to the gym and then I fixed my nutrition because I was watching all these videos and doing all this research, I actually did the BOD Pod at the University of Kentucky. And when I started, I was 33% body fat. And I went back like a year and a half later and I had dropped to, I think, 25. So, but I didn't lose any weight because I gained it all back in muscle. I was the same weight, but I was so much leaner. That was really inspiring to me. And now I eat like four meals a day.
Nice. That's also a good reminder for people who are working out and trying, we always say we're trying to lose weight, but keep in mind that muscle weighs more than fat. So if you're not losing weight, it might be because you're gaining muscle. So don't get too discouraged. It's not the best measurement for health.
Yes, and that's something that I always tell my clients, and I always focus on progress photos. Like, even if you're not going to show anyone else, I think it's really important to take those progress photos because you'll be like, well, the scale hasn't moved in a month. But if you go back and look at the photos, oh, wow, you look a lot leaner. Your clothes are fitting different. Your energy levels are different. There's all of these other benefits.
When did you become a certified personal trainer and nutrition coach?
About 2 years ago, it was after I had already started the fitness account. And I was like, you know what? Not only do I want to try to inspire people, but I want to actually help them along this journey, but I want to make sure that I'm doing it correctly. So I got NASM certified and I was helping friends mostly at first, just building a client base, trying to learn the best way to help people because people have different methods for how they want to be coached. And so once I got comfortable helping my friends, I moved into actual clients, and it's been a lot of fun.
So what was it about running that initially drew you into the sport?
I always said that I was never going to be a runner or that I wasn't built like a runner, like all of these different things. I got a dog last January. He is a lab mix. I got him from the Humane Society, sweetest boy ever, but so much energy. So I would be taking him for walks and it just was not doing anything. Like he still just had so much energy. So one day I was like, you know what? Let's just let's go for a jog and see what happens. And you know, he loved it. And so seeing him be so happy, and then it wore him out. He napped for a couple hours afterwards. I was like, okay, this is the key. So I started running with him more. And then I was like, you know what? This is actually like fun. Like the feeling afterwards of knowing that you did something hard, but you didn't quit even when you wanted to. And just that feeling of like relief afterwards, it was just really rewarding. And it kind of taught me how much strength I had, but in a different way. Like I'd been lifting weights, and so I knew physically I was strong, but it was one of those things that started to test my mental. And I really just fell in love with that aspect of it. And there's so many ways that you can challenge yourself with running. You can do, you know, really long runs, you can do short speed runs, you can do races. I got into the races, obviously, and wanted to see how far I can push myself. And so I just did the marathon. Now I'm trying to think when my next one will be.
Okay, so you haven't sworn him off after the first one. That's good.
I thought I would, but no, I think I would like to do another next time, push my time a little bit more.
How did that mental strengthening help with the marathon? Because that's such a big part of running 26 miles, just getting through toward the end of it, just convincing yourself that, yes, you can finish.
Oh my gosh. So it was definitely a challenge. Especially because my longest long run before the marathon was 18 miles. So I had a little over 8 miles that I had, you know, never touched before while I was doing this marathon. And it was one of those things for the first 14 miles, I had a great time. I was like, this is so much fun. And then from 14 to 20, I was like, okay, we're just gonna get this done. Around 21, 22, I was like, I'm going to finish this, even if I have to crawl. By literally at mile 25, I cried. Like, I just started crying because it was one of those, like, I'm so tired, I'm hungry, it's hot, I just want to be done. And it's one of those things where all of the training that I had done leading up to this taught me that I could do this. And that I knew I was going to finish it because I had done all these other runs before and I've had really hard runs that I'd completed. So it was one of those things I knew I was capable, even though it was very, very testing. It took a lot out of me, but I did get it done. And even when I had tears running down my face, I did not stop.
Yeah, trust your training. I know people get nervous before a big race sometimes, but if you put in the work beforehand, for the most part, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, your body will do what your brain tells it that you can. So as soon as you tell yourself you can't do it, it's over already. Just having the mantra of I will finish this even if I crawl is really part of what got me there.
So, for a little practical advice, as someone who is committed to both running and weightlifting, how do the two complement each other? Because there are a lot of runners, myself included, who don't love weightlifting. We'd rather just run. That's all we want to do, even though we know that it helps. How do you find that balance?
It can be really hard to balance trying to fit both in. It's kind of just finding the season that you're in. If you're training for a race, obviously you want to focus a little bit more on your running, but you don't want to completely neglect strength. And maybe in your off seasons, you want to put a little more focus on strength training, but still keep up your running fitness. That's kind of how I treat it. But they are both so important. For so many different reasons. Like, they both have different health benefits, but they do work really well together. And whenever you have that strength training, obviously you're gaining more muscle. So you're getting stronger, but you're getting faster because your legs are stronger, they can handle more. It's also really good for injury prevention because you have that muscle on you, and so you're not going to get injured as easily as if you have no muscle built up to kind of help protect you.
And how do you space it out? So let's say during the week you're doing a long run or a lot of hill work. How soon after that are you going into a leg day with your weights? What's the best way to plan?
It's definitely one of those things that kind of come back around to what season you're in. So, if you're in a season of lifting more, running less, then I will lift before a run. So, then I have focused my energy into lifting and strength, and I'm running to keep up that fitness afterwards. So even if I'm a little tired, it's okay if I'm a little slower on my run because my main goal is the strength. Whereas I'll kind of do it vice versa whenever I'm in race season, or even I'll do a lot lighter weight and try to do it on opposite days. So I'll run Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and maybe I'll hit the gym on Monday, Wednesday. I always take Sunday as a rest day because you need at least one full rest day. So it's just what season you're in and how you can balance it the best. But typically in a race season, I will definitely focus on my running and then do lighter weights in the gym. And also, I'm more likely to do full body versus doing like a push-pull legs split because it's really hard to be like, oh yeah, I just did hill repeats or sprints and now I have to hit a leg day the next day. So
Yeah.
it's easier to do full body one day, do sprints another day, do an easy run after that, and then maybe do full body again and just cycle that way. So it's also if you're putting your easy runs after a really hard run or after a workout, that's easier too.
You have any time management tips so people who are balancing work and training and other aspects of life?
It's definitely very challenging. I work full time and also, lift and run and do all these different things, still hang out with my friends and my family and everything else. It's one of those kind of plan out your week and figure out how much time you really have in your days and go from there. So me, I work second shift. So I wake up, I eat breakfast, I go to the gym, I run, I come back, shower, go to work. I take the weekend off so that I can have time with my friends and with my family. I also do meal prepping because that saves a lot of time. You're not spending so much time cooking every single night. So it's one of those where you really have to, and a lot of people work first shift and they want to go home after they get off work, but then they sit on the couch and they're like, oh, do I really want to go run? Do I really want to go to the gym? So it's one of those things I always tell people, pack your gym stuff with you and don't go home if you don't have to. Like, just go straight there, start working out, and see how you feel. And then when you go home, then you can be home and you don't really have to worry about it anymore. But it's really one of those, I sit down on Sunday, I go to the store, I meal prep, I plan out my week, and go from there. So I know what days I'm going to the gym, from what time until what time. And then when I have to work, what I'm eating this week, pretty much how long everything is going to take, when my free time is going to be, plan ahead.
Speaking of meal prep, I was looking through some of the videos on your Instagram. There's a salmon salad recipe video that you put out there. It looks phenomenal.
It was so good.
I would definitely recommend people check that out and try it. For someone who's, let's say, going through a fitness rut, what are some steps you would recommend they take to get through that?
I would say just mix it up a little bit. Maybe try something you haven't done before. Maybe you need to take a little bit of a break from what you usually do. I think that's also part of how I got into running is weightlifting. I had been doing it for a couple years. It was getting really repetitive. And so I was like, you know what? I really want to stay active, but I'm not sure I want to be at the gym all the time anymore. And so it's just kind of one of those things, If you weightlift, try running or vice versa. Or maybe even do things like try hiking, try biking, go play pickleball, go play tennis, try something else and see where you think your passion really lies. Because fitness is not something that's supposed to control your life, but complement it. So you want to make sure that you're enjoying it, or else you won't do it. And everybody does kind of get in those ruts sometimes. And if you don't want to change up what you're doing, or you've tried other things and those don't work as well for you, you can do even just little things like, okay, if I go to the gym today, I can watch this show I've really been wanting to watch, or I can wear a cute new outfit, or just, simple things like that.
All right, let's talk a little bit about documenting fitness on Instagram. What's some of the feedback you've gotten from some of your followers? Anything they've found inspirational that they've gotten back to you about?
I think whenever I started this account, I was really nervous. I don't like having all the attention on me. And so for a long time, it felt really silly. Like I'd almost be embarrassed to post to the account. And like, I didn't want to tell anybody about it. But I kept getting like positive feedback. A lot of things that I get are the meal preps or the recipes. They're like, that's such a good idea, or that looks so good, I'm gonna try that. So it was a lot of really positive feedback that always comes back to me, which is really nice because I guess I expected some negative feedback, but a lot of people seem to really enjoy it. And so that's been really cool. And I get people who come up and they're like, oh, can you make a video about form checks or a dumbbell only routine or meal with these ingredients? And so it's kind of fun to have other people come up to me with ideas, because sometimes I get into a rut of like, I don't know what to post. And so it's really cool when they come back to me and they have ideas, or they really like the meal that they made that they saw me make. Even just sometimes they're like, oh, your outfit's so cute. Where did you get it?
So it sounds like you're building a community rather than having a one-way conversation.
Yeah, definitely. I do get a lot of people who are like, this has really helped me, or even I've gone through phases where I'm like, I don't even really want to do this account anymore. So I'll pause it, and people come up to me if they see me in person, or they'll come to my like my main account. They'll be like, where did you go? It is always something that really helps me be inspired to continue to do the account. Whenever I see that people really do enjoy it and it really is having the effect that I want it to have on people.
Although I imagine it's got to be hard. Like one of the things about social media is it rewards consistency, especially people who do things every day. But some days you just don't feel like it, right? I mean, have you had days where you had a bad workout, or you're just not feeling it and you don't feel like sharing? What do you do on those days?
It is really hard sometimes. I think something I try not to do is take the account too seriously, honestly. I don't post every day. I know that I'm supposed to. Some days it really is just hard, or I don't do anything besides, you know, like maybe I wake up and I don't feel good and I have to work that day. So I just spend my morning kind of resting so that I can work my shift. So it's like, okay, I don't really have anything to post about. But I will try to, especially on days where I have a bad workout, a lot of times I'll try to at least put that on my story to show people, you know, it's not perfect all the time. So I do things like that. Like I'll be like, hey guys, I was going to run 3 miles today, but so-and-so this happened and I didn't get to finish it. And I just want to show you guys that I'm not going to win every time. You guys aren't going to win every time, but we're going to keep showing up. We'll be back tomorrow. I do try to do that, but there are definitely days where I just go ghost on that account. It's a work in progress.
It sounds like a healthy balance. I hate that some creators feel like they have to do something every day, even when they really, really don't want to, just being a slave to the algorithm and stuff. So I feel like you are taking a healthy approach to it.
Yeah.
That's good.
And especially because, you know, I did make the account. I've been like 5 months after I made it. I paused it for like 4 months because I was like, I'm so stressed out, because I was like, oh my gosh, I have to post every day and it has to be good content. And it was just too much for me. So I was like, I'm done. But then, like I said, I had people asking me where I went and why my account wasn't active anymore. And, you know, they had all these ideas for me. And so I brought it back up and I was like, okay, we're just going to do this in a way that's actually feasible for me. You have to remember, not everybody takes it as seriously as you're taking it. And that's kind of a blessing, honestly. Like, yeah, you want people to see it, but also to an extent, you need to give yourself grace on some of the things that you're doing.
Absolutely. And finally, how can people follow along with your workouts, your inspiration, and learn more about your coaching services?
Follow the account, JadeEnglish_fitness, and feel free to reach out to me. I read all the DMs. I try to get back to everybody. I'll comment back. I'm pretty engaged with people who engage with my content.
Well, thanks, Jaden. We'll put links in show notes so people can find that easily. And appreciate you coming on here, sharing some tips with our listeners. And we'll see you at the Silent Disco.
See you then. Thank you.
Thanks to Jaden for dropping some knowledge in this episode. I hope you heard something that you can incorporate into your own nutrition or fitness routine. I especially enjoyed her points on balance, because remember, fitness is about complementing your life, not controlling it. Check the links in the show notes to learn more about Jaden and follow along with her fitness tips and inspiration. For John's Run Walk Shop, I'm Matt Reno, and if you want to hear more tips on running and other health-related activities, please rate, review, and subscribe, and we'll talk again soon on Kentucky Running.